If not, we'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in the New Testament. Thankful for the Word. I'm glad we can dig into it, and I'm glad that we got Paul. He was a real person, and he faced real issues, and I'm glad for that because we face real issues. Amen. I'm just glad that he visited there several times, but the times that he visited, he didn't write things down. But those times in between, I'm glad that the Holy Spirit inspired him to write, and then God kept it and preserved it all the way to where we are today, so that way we can use His Word for to help us to live and to see what God expects of us. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were talking about the gospel, and we were talking about some things about the Bible and different things like that. And I said, well, here's the thing you got to remember is we can't separate Jesus from the Bible. He is the Word. You can't separate, because one of the things this world loves to do is to separate and make their own Jesus, right? You know, we've seen that many times. I wasn't saved because of one of the conversations was a certain Bible version. You know, I wasn't saved because it was a certain Bible version. I'll agree with that. I was saved because of the gospel and touched my heart. But I said, one of the things you got to be careful for is the only way we know who Jesus is, the only way we know the gospel, the only way we know about sin and salvation is because of His Word. That's how He revealed it to us. So I'm thankful we can dig into it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him look of himself, think this again, that as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given. Lord, we thank you so much for your word tonight. We thank you for its truth. Lord, I pray that you would help me tonight to preach. Lord, fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Open up our ears and our hearts tonight for your word. We thank you for it. I'm so glad we can worship you one more time. And Lord, through this message, Lord, I pray that you would get your glory out of it. And Lord, help us in our needs. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. So here's Paul, in the first nine chapters, he's kind of switching gears here in chapter 10, and he gets a little more, some call it serious, a little more bold, a little more, harsh or whatever you want to word it, but it starts here in chapter 10. And here's the thing, he has had to defend himself. In both the letters, he's had to defend himself, and especially in 2 Corinthians, against a false apostle that tried to turn them away from Paul. They tried to turn the church away, to go against Paul, to ignore his teachings, to go another way. It sounds, and before he gets harsh, he says there in verse 1, he's coming to them with meekness and gentleness of Christ. And here's the thing, none of us like to have our shortcomings pointed out, right? None of us have like our toes stepped on, but when it has to happen, it has to be done in love. Have you ever heard a preacher get up and step on your toes and there was no love there? There's a big difference between someone that loves you and wants you to grow and that will admit that they need to grow themselves than someone who just gets in and just beats everybody down, from this high throne. But here's the thing, he's reminding them that, hey, here's how I'm coming to you. And then we see in the verse, he says, here's the accusation. Part of it, he's saying, who in presence and base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. And what they're saying is, hey, Paul, when you're here in person, you're meek. You know, you're acting one way, but then when you leave, we get this harsh letter in, right? That's what they're saying right here. We're saying, they're saying, hey, you know, because we have 1 Corinthians, we have the one that is mentioned, but we don't have, and then we have 2 Corinthians. So they've received at least 2 letters from Paul, and they're saying, hey, here's one of the problems we're having with you. When you're in person, you're talking one way, but when we get a letter, it seems like it's the other way. And what they were trying to argue is that either he was two-faced, you know, and saying 2 different things, or they're saying that he was too weak to confront them in person. But here's the thing. If you think about it, it's pretty easy. You know, if the Apostle Paul was here, generally the false prophets wouldn't be around, right? The false apostles, the false teachers, they kind of stay away. But as soon as Paul leaves, they start to creep in, right? That's exactly what happened. You've got a young church. You've got one that hadn't been there very long. You've got young Christians trying to learn the truth. And as soon as that happens, as soon as the meek and gentle Paul, as he has planted and led them and helped them to grow, as soon as he left, there's the false teaching came in. And hey, he had to be harsh, right? When we have to confront false teachers in our midst, we have to, you know, we'll do it in love. But if they're not listening, you have to get harsh, right? If they're trying to subvert the gospel, if they're trying to preach another Jesus, if they're trying to get us to believe in another salvation or another way, we've got to put a stop to that. Amen. We've got to mark, the Bible says, mark and avoid them, right? So there's a definite difference there. But have you ever noticed that false religion loves to get new converts to Christ? Right? As soon as someone gets saved and they hear about it, they want to go after that one and say, you know what? You've got that Bible there. We believe the same thing. We just have an extra one. Or we believe the same thing, just, you know, a little differently. If you want to learn more about Jesus, we'll give you more about it. But that's what they do, right? They want to pray after people that don't know as much about the Word. And that's why we have to get in the Word. But here, you think of their problem from the beginning. They're saying, hey, sometimes, Paul, you're meek and gentle. Sometimes you're harsh with us. And you would stop and think, well, that Jesus was that way too, wasn't he? Sometimes he was meek and gentle, and sometimes he was overthrowing the money changers in the temple, and sometimes he was calling the Pharisees whitewashed tombs. There's differences, right? There, and you're thinking, well, is it because, you know, Jesus was bipolar or anything? No, he had to confront different situations with different urgency. He couldn't be meek and gentle to the Pharisees. He had to get it straight with them and say, hey, you're not of us. You say you're of Abraham, but you're not. If you were, you would believe in me. Remember, he had to get serious with them. Different situations and different people require different approaches. We see that over and over in the New Testament. Every time, either in the book of Acts or in the New Testament, every time you see a situation where someone is preaching or teaching and giving the gospel, it's always different. Right? And I'm not saying it's a different gospel. I'm saying they approach it different ways. Right? If you're in front, if you're in Athens, you approach it one way. If you're talking to the Jews, you approach it a different way. No different than at work, right? Or where if you're witnessing to somebody wherever in your family or something else, you go to what they, things that are in common and different things like that. If they've got some obstacle, you deal with that obstacle, right? You don't have to deal with the same things with everybody. Amen. And that's what he did. He's saying, hey, we have to be different. But most importantly, when there's false teachers around, we have to take care of it. Verse 2, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. He says, hey, I'll admit it. I wasn't bold when I was there in person, he says, but if I came again, or when I come again, he's saying, hey, there's certain ones, there's some that even face to face I would get bold with. And he tells us why. He's like, if I ran into certain people, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh, he's saying I would be bold against them. right? Because the enemy, what will they say? They'll use meekness as weakness, right? They'll say it's the same thing. Or humility means you're being weak. No, Jesus Christ was humble, especially when he knelt down and he washed the disciples' feet. Yeah. He humbled himself and came to this earth. He humbled himself on the cross to die for our sins. That's not weakness, that's power. In fact, I see no greater power than God giving his life for us. When he could have walked away, when he could have changed his mind, but he didn't. He loved us that much. But here he tells us the other part of their claim against him. Think of us as if, some think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. You know what he's saying? Just like the meekness was a problem, they're saying, hey, 1 minute you're meek, 1 minute you're bold. And they're saying, hey, that's just your flesh reacting, right? That's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, you're just getting frustrated. And instead of the biblical, spiritual, righteous reaction, you're getting angry and sinning, right? That's, you're getting frustrated. You're getting angry. You're getting, you're going beyond what you should. And they're saying this sinful response, this fleshly response is what's happening. And isn't this what the enemy wants to do? The enemy, if he can prove that a Christian person is walking after the flesh, if we are living sinfully, then what will it do? It'll ruin our character. It'll ruin our testimony. It'll put a black eye on Jesus Christ and his word and everything else. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says abstain from all appearance of evil. Don't just abstain from evil, and don't just abstain from all evil, but abstain from all appearance of evil. Yeah. All, even if it looks like it's bad, you stay away from it. Why? Because our reputation is something we have to hold high. Our character is something we have to, you know, you think about anyone in this world, once they damage that reputation and character, it's hard to rebuild, and sometimes parts of it never get rebuilt. Amen? And so here's the thing. Our job is we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are his representative. We are his messengers. We are carrying, we are serving him and as his servants, and we belong to him, and that's why we're Christians, we're followers of Christ, it's in our name. Our character needs to be above reproach, amen. Now here's the thing, they may falsely accuse us, and it is what it is, but we should give them a chance to rightly accuse us, amen. Right. That's what he's saying. Abstain from any appearance of evil, sinfulness, because it'll prevent us and hinder us from spreading the gospel. But here's the other truth. If you and I are serving the Lord, if we're where we need to be, if we're walking by faith, if we're making a difference for the Lord, what's going to happen? We're going to have critics. We're going to have enemies. We're going to have people fighting against us. And in fact, we're going to have people lie about us too. Amen? It's going to happen. We can't, I mean, we're not going to be able to please everybody. We're not going to make everybody happy. But I'm here to tell you, if we can walk righteously and honestly and live an honest life as best as we can, and we give the truth, they will be forced to lie. And guess what? When people lie about us, they know that what they're doing. Amen. They know it. How many times in the Bible and different ones that followed God and the enemies went after them and they said, like with Daniel, we can't find anything against him, even though he's a high leader. He's have all these things under charge. He's not extorting money. He's not stealing from the throne. He's not trying to take power that's not his. He's not doing any of those things. He's not cheating on the time clock. What's he doing? He's just doing what he's supposed to do. And you know what they said? We know how we can trap him. He prays every day. Amen. That's where we need to be. The same thing. They look at us and they know that they can't catch us in all these things. So what will they catch us doing? Serving the Lord. Amen. The devil's a liar, isn't he? He tries to use lies to stop people from coming to Christ. He's lying about Jesus. He lies about the Bible. He lies about Christians. He's going to do that, and so be it. But I'll tell you one thing, I don't want to give him more ammunition. Amen? I don't want to give him any truth. And that's what Paul was saying. He's saying, hey, they're saying that we're walking according to the flesh. We're following the flesh. Look at verses 3 and 4. For though we walk in the flesh, We do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He admits, he's saying, hey, yes, I have this flesh. I've got this body. It walks around. It talks. It moves and everything else. He's saying, and by the way, our flesh does not get saved on this earth, right? Our soul is saved. He saves us. He gives us a new heart, a new mind and everything else. But this old flesh, it stays just as dirty and everything else. That's why we got to lose it and get a new one. But anyway, he's saying, hey, we are human, but we don't fight spiritual battles with the flesh. And people try to do this, right? What are they trying to do? They were trying to use manipulation, criticism, clever arguments and lies and everything else against Paul, but he refused to fight back in those ways. Do you notice that? He doesn't criticize. He doesn't manipulate the people. He doesn't lie about them. He doesn't do any of those things, but instead he uses spiritual weapons. Like what? He uses prayer. He uses the Holy Spirit. He uses the truth. He uses the scriptures. And he uses the power of God to fight his battles. Let me tell you something. When we when we have the enemy coming against us, we want to look at them and fight against them using our wit and everything else. But that is not what God wants. Let him fight our battles. You know, I see people today trying to fight battles with slick videos on social media and catchphrases and try to lure people and with logic and everything else. And I'll tell you what, the Bible doesn't tell us to do that. It says just to plainly preach and teach the Word of God and let the Word of God be true and illuminate the darkness. Because here's the thing, if I were to lure people in with fancy music and fancy programs and fancy this or that to get around the truth, if I were to use something else to bring them in, then it wouldn't take very long before down the road would come something more fancy and they'd go down the road. But that's not what we're here for. We're here for the truth of the Word of God. Because here's the thing. If something truly, if this world really fell apart, I'm talking if everything we knew now changed, if civilization just, crumbled or whatever you want to call it, and we were left with a shell of what we have today, it wouldn't matter how well I play the piano. What it would matter is how much of God's Word I've hidden in my heart. Right? If we don't have electric anymore, it doesn't matter some of these things anymore. But I'll tell you what does matter, if we know the truth. Amen? And that's why we're seeing in some places where things bad are happening, and heaven forbid, but people are getting more serious and they're saying, hey, the smoke and mirrors isn't what I need. I need the truth. Amen? All of these things can bring temporary gains, but we're not interested in that. You know what I'm interested in? He said the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. Do we have strongholds around us? Does the devil have, it seems like, a stranglehold on people and institutions and everything else? Yes, all around us, so many things and people in this world. And if we had to fight the devil on our own power, we would be helpless and hopeless. We can't overpower him. But aren't you glad we have a stronger than he, and that's Jesus Christ. He defeated death. He rose from the dead on the third day. And he is more powerful than all of that. What kind of strongholds do you have around you in your life? What kind of things where just it feels like the spiritual wickedness has prevailed and there's no chance for any change? Where are those things at? And then let me ask us this question, and I'm including myself. For those strongholds that we have, are we praying for deliverance? Are we praying that God pulls them down? Or have we given up and just conceded it to the devil and say, you know what, it's just too late? Heaven forbid. We got to remind ourselves. Paul's reminding us right here. He's saying, hey, that spiritual warfare, God can pull it down. He pulled down the walls of Jericho without a shot being fired. Amen. And guess what? You know what I was thinking about in application of this right here? I thought myself that there was a stronghold that could not be brought down in our public schools. Amen.
Our public schools. I thought the devil had such a lock on it by taking away prayer, by not letting anyone talk about Jesus, by just, you know, just doing all those different things. And then all of a sudden, a couple years ago, you've got LifeWise, you've got Good News Clubs, you've got other things that just knock the stronghold down and bringing in, taking those same public school kids and teaching them about the truth of Jesus Christ. That is a bringing down of strongholds. And if he can bring that one down, what other ones can he bring down? Amen. I'm glad he can do that, but we can't give up ourselves. You know, we have to stop relying on our own mind and our own ability if we want something greater than ourselves. Look at verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What's he saying? Drop every worldly idea, every piece of worldly influence, drop the pride, drop everything that goes against the Bible. And when you've done that, the next step is just to bring every thought into captivity, right? Everything, every single thought in your mind into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know what he's saying? This is part of the answer, right? They're saying Paul is warring, he's going after the flesh, right? He's walking after the flesh. That's what the false apostles were saying. They're saying you can't trust him. He's one way one day. He's another way the other day. He's not spiritual. He's just following after the flesh. And Paul gets down to verse 5 and says, you know what? Here's the truth right here. If you want to talk about following after the flesh, you want to talk about not following after the flesh, here it is. Every single thought that brings pride to yourself, every thought that's worldly in any way, any thought that is sinful in any way, anything that's not in obedience to Christ, any even for a split second in your mind crosses it, until you've rooted all that out, you're a sinner, right? That's what he's telling that false apostle. You think I am walking after the flesh? We all are, if we're honest. Yeah. Amen? Till you can beat verse 5, we need a Savior. Amen? And guess what? On this earth, we'll never get to the point. Now, some people will say, I've gotten fully sanctified. They got all kinds of great catchphrases. I've got an extra baptism. I've got this. I've got that. And I've reached a point where I just don't sin anymore. And I think you've reached to the point where you're crazy. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Yep. Have you read what sin is in the Bible? This is one. Anything outside of verse 5 is sinful, and there's no way. You know why? Because I've heard some of these same people talk, but I'll get off of it anyway. You want to be a real spirit, you want real spiritual victory, a real soldier for Christ. He said, this is what it looks like. And we'll never be able to fully, perfectly attain this, but he's saying this is the direction, is someone that completely abandons the world, rids themselves as much as they can of fleshly actions and responses and talk and everything else, and tries to get their mind set on him, right? Think on these things, all the good things, spiritual things. And I'll tell you what, if that false apostle really read this letter, it would sting. But it still stings today, isn't it? If we feel like we've achieved greatness in Christ and everything else, we can't. There's no way. And here's the, maybe you don't call it full sanctification, and maybe you don't go as far as some of those other people, but I'll tell you what I have heard. I've heard it in people around us in our circles have almost talked as if they can't grow anymore. That's the same thing, right? I've heard people say, you know what, I would go to Sunday school, but I just feel like I pretty much already know it. Man, Paul wouldn't say that. What's he saying, verse 6? And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. He's saying, I may have been meek, and I've written to you sometimes, and I'm writing to you now in meekness. But he's saying, hey, if this spiritual warfare, if these things, if you don't repent of that and turn to the truth and the Holy Spirit and turn to the scriptures and turn to the grace of God, if that doesn't work, Paul says, I will come back and I will remove the false apostle myself. That's what he's saying. You thought I was meek and gentle, right? I was based. I didn't do those things. He said, but hey, if it continues, I myself will remove. That's what he's saying. All disobedience, I'll take care of all of it. I'm ready to take care of it all when your obedience is fulfilled. There does come a time where false apostles, false teachers, if they're not going to repent, we have to show them the door. Amen. They have to be removed. Verse 7. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts in himself that he is Christ, let himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. Here's the main issue, right? Here's the issue with the Corinthians. Here's the issue with the false apostle. Here it is right here. If you looked at Paul outwardly, right? If you looked at him and saw who he was, his physical body, how he carried himself, how he dressed, he might not look of what they thought an apostle should look like. And we've got a couple historians that say, and I don't know how accurate this isn't Bible, but we'll just throw it out here. They said Paul was short, he was bald-headed, his legs were crooked, his eyebrows connected, and his nose was somewhat hooked. And what they're saying is, hey, if you look at outward appearance, he doesn't really look like an apostle, right? And his voice wasn't as powerful as some of the ones we've got running around here today, or maybe as powerful as mine. And he didn't walk around like he was the king of everything, like some others. But if that's how we're going to test who an apostle is, we're doing it wrong. Amen? Because you won't be able to tell by the dress or physical appearance who's called by God. Right? They wouldn't have been able to do that. And right, what did we talk about this morning in Sunday school? Just because people dress in a certain attire, a certain religious garb, just because they have fancy clothes and jewelry, just because they've got the title at the bottom of the video on YouTube or anything else, that stuff does not show how close they are to God. Amen? That's what Paul was saying. The problem is, Corinthians, you are looking at the outward. And that false apostle looks like an apostle to you. But he's false. That's what he's saying. And here's the test. He's giving them one test right here. You want to know what a true apostle is? How do they fight spiritual battles? Amen? How do they fight them? Because if that false apostle was claiming Paul was a false apostle, right? That's what he was doing. He's saying, Paul is wrong, Paul is false, Paul we have to abandon. How did the false apostle fight against Paul? He didn't use any spiritual weapons. What did he use? Name calling. He doesn't look right. We need to abandon him. He's one way one day, he's another way another day. He's just following the flesh, he's bipolar, whatever they call it back then. But that's what he's saying. And Paul's saying, I'm not doing that. Right? I'm not getting into an arguing match. I'm not going to fight him outside the church. I'm not going to call him, curse words or anything like that. I'm just going to tell the truth. That's what he's saying. I'm just going to tell the truth. Well, how do we use it in closing? Very familiar passage. Ephesians 6 says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that verse right there is just a reminder that I am not fighting against a person and you are not fighting against a person. We are fighting against who the devil is using. That's who we're fighting, because our hope is not to defeat the false prophet. Our hope is that the false prophet will repent and turn to the truth and become one of us. That's it. So wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the blessed breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the spirit, sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. And a lot of times people stop right there, but I think the next verse is one of the most important. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Amen. We're going to have resistance. We're going to have false teachers. We're going to have people in this world that attack our character. They try to attack Jesus, but we cannot respond sinfully. We cannot respond with logic or any other fleshly tactic. We have to use the spiritual weapons that are mentioned: the scriptures, the Holy Spirit, truth, faith, salvation, prayer, and let the Lord pull down the strongholds. Let the Lord soften hearts of sinners. And let him change the mind of false apostles and prophets and teachers. And here's the thing. Paul could have been so frustrated and said, I can't believe that how soon they've let somebody come in here and change their mind. But he didn't do that. He loved them. He cared for them. He wrote a letter, right, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he sent it to them. And he kept praying for them, and he loved them. And he said, I even love the one accusing me. And I'll give them a space to repent, but eventually we'll have to remove them if they don't. And you're thinking, man, that sounds harsh. Our Lord will do the same thing. He gives people a space to repent, and then eventually when they don't, he'll remove them. He will. He will only let people stand in the way of his word and his gospel and his kingdom for so long. And then he will get them out of the way. And I've seen it. Paul didn't give up on them. And we can't give up on those around us. Amen. Even our enemies. But we're not going to respond in anger. We're not going to respond in a sinful anger. We're going to try to respond with meekness, but also boldness. With prayer, truth, Holy Spirit, his help, with the scriptures, and together praying that people would come back to the truth or come to the truth. I'm going to open up the altar tonight for